Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we begin a four-part sermon series on Ephesians 6 called The Armor of God. This week and over the next 3 weeks, we'll be studying the different pieces of equipment that the Lord provides for us. The belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of peace and the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. But today we're focusing on the battle itself, the enemies we fight against, and the victory that has already been won for us. So, what we're focusing on is the battle. And that's the important thing to understand. The Christian life is not an all-expense-paid luxury vacation at a sandals resort or a carnival cruise. The Christian life is a battle. That's what Ephesians 6 describes for us. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. So, God says we need to armor up. The Bible commands us that each day we need to be ready for battle by putting on the full armor of God. Notice this battle is not a physical battle fought with rifles and guns. It's not a political ballot that's won at the ballot box. This is a spiritual battle. And spiritual battles are fought with spiritual weapons. Words are weapons used in spiritual warfare. In 2 Corinthians 10, St. Paul says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. So the battles that we fight are battles of the Spirit. We fight battles against the temptations that our enemies throw at us. They're not fought on a physical battlefield. They're not fought in a court of law. They're fought on battlefields much closer to home. We fight these spiritual battles in our heart and in our mind. Now the enemy throws everything it can at us. Our enemies know every trick in the book. But God has equipped us. God has strengthened us, and God has given us his very own armor for protection. By his strength and by his protection, we can stand up under the many temptations that the world throws at us. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." You hear that? God is faithful. God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And God always provides a way out. I mentioned the enemies. We have enemies that fight against us. Who are these enemies? Now, the first rule of warfare is always to know your enemy. We must know who and what we are up against. Our enemies are, as Ephesians 6 tells us, they are not flesh and blood. It's not human beings. We're not fighting a human war. We're fighting a war against the spiritual forces of the evil world we live in. First and foremost, our enemy is the devil. Who is the devil? He is an evil angel. He was once a servant of God, but now has fallen from heaven. Revelation 12 describes his fall. The Bible says that the devil started a war with God and lost. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient dragon called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole earth astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Now the dragon, the devil, was thrown down to earth. So I've got good news and I've got bad news for you. The good news is that the devil was defeated. He was thrown out of heaven. The bad news is that he was thrown to earth. And that happens to be where you and I live. The devil is alive and well on planet earth. And he is not happy. Revelation 12:12 says, "Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short." Bad news is that the devil's been thrown down to earth and has brought with him thousands upon thousands of evil angels with him. We call those fallen angels demons. The devil and his demons are now occupying this world as a hostile force, as a ruling force. They have taken it over. The devil is called by Jesus himself the prince of this world. Each one of these demons is powerful, far more powerful than you or I, or all of us put together. They are powerful, they are completely evil, and they hate our guts. They don't want to trick us, they don't want to deceive us. They want to kill us, body and soul. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy." 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." In other words, you are in a battle whether you like it or not, and you are in serious danger. And you need protection. You need the armor of God. I wish I could tell you that the devil, well, that was the only one on the list of enemies. That would be more than enough. But don't worry. As someone said, it could always get worse. And it does. We have even more enemies. Not only do we battle against the devil and his demons, but we also have to battle against the second enemy, the world. The world attacks us through its many temptations, tempting us to turn away from Christ. The temptations can take many forms, but they all have one thing in common. They are designed to get us to devote ourselves to the things of this world instead of the things of God. 1 John chapter 2 says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world." The world tempts us and puts pressure on us to think and act in a certain way, a sinful way, a selfish way. We've all experienced that power, the power of peer pressure. That's what the world places on us. The world wants us to conform to its way of doing things, to be just like everybody else, acting the same selfish way everyone else acts, thinking the same selfish thoughts everyone else in the world thinks. Romans 12:2 tells us to stand up and not be conformed to the world. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We need to think differently than the world, to think the way Jesus thinks, according to his word. We cannot serve the world and serve God at the same time. James tells us, "Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." James 4:4. The world and God are at enmity with one another. The devil is a powerful enemy. He is full of hatred for us. The world is a powerful enemy, pressuring us to conform, and it is persuasive in its temptations. But there is one more enemy we have to talk about, the enemy that hits closest to home, the enemy within. It's called the sinful nature, or in some translations, it's called the flesh. We know that the devil is evil and hates God. We know that the world is God's enemy as well. But there's one more enemy we have to contend with, our own sinful nature. Paul described this arch enemy, this traitor inside each of us, by his honest confession of his sinful nature in Romans chapter 7. He says, Romans 7:19, I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Paul feels trapped in his own body, a prisoner of his own sinful nature. The sinful nature is our enemy. It is the enemy of God as well. Romans 8, Paul goes on, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. So our sinful nature rebels against God. It wants to do its own thing. It wants to lead us down a path of sin and selfishness instead of loving God and serving others. The sinful nature is so persistent. It never quits. It's an enemy we have to face 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Put on the full armor of God. Because you can see the situation we are in. We're in a battle, a fierce spiritual battle that wages war against our soul. And you can see the power of our enemies, the evil demons of hell led by Satan himself. The world with all its persuasive temptations and pressures to conform, and the enemy within, our own flesh, our own sinful nature, constantly working against us. Looking at the power of our enemies, you might think that we have no chance. There's no way we can overcome enemies like this on our own. And you would be right. But here's the good news. You're not on your own. We never are. For us fights the valiant one whom God himself elected. You ask who this may be. Jesus Christ is he. Jesus Christ is our champion. The hero sent by God into this world to do battle with the forces of evil. And the great news is, the gospel is this, that Jesus Christ has won the victory. Through his death and through his resurrection, our victory has already been won. He has won the victory over all three of our enemies. He's won the victory over the evil one, the devil. 1 John 3, it says the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. One of the reasons Jesus came into this world is to defeat the devil, and that's exactly what he did. He defeated him through his death and through his resurrection. The night before his death, Jesus announced his victory. He said to his disciples, John 12:31, now the prince of this world will be driven out. And that's what he did. Through the cross and through the resurrection, the devil was defeated. Jesus not only won that victory, he also won the victory over the world. That same night, Maundy Thursday, Jesus announced his victory over the world. John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And just to make it complete, Jesus Christ has also won the victory over the sinful nature. Through his death on the cross, Jesus paid the price for all of our sins. Although the sinful nature will still lead us into sin, it will not have the victory. Paul writes in Romans 7 that his sinful nature has already been defeated. Christ has already won the victory. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 7:24 and 25. That makes it 3 for 3. Jesus Christ has won the victory over the devil, over the world, and over our sinful nature. We are in the midst of a long and difficult battle. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.